Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Got it!
She's got great chat.
The hideaway is open tonight.
I've looked at it or whatever.
You know, got quicksand. It's like the equivalent, but it's made out of dicks.
It's banter.
What do you think about Brexit?
What's that?
Does that mean we won't have any cheese?
Are you joking?
You are a liar, actress.
100% white type on paper.
She's got the chat.
Hello, and welcome to She's Got the Chat. I am Mara.
And I am Ari.
I just fucked up our intro about 5 times before I got that one right. Oh my God.
LOL, because this is a different episode. We're not on our, we're a little thrown off over here. We're here to discuss not Love Island, although right. It will intersect with our discussions.
It absolutely will, because Love Island intersects with everything in life.
Exactly. Our all reality TV is the same, is connected, is a part of our conversations here on She's Got the Chat.
Yes.
So today we will be discussing our thoughts on the most recent episodes of Traitors, mm-hmm. The Bachelor, and Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
And we wanted to right off the bat let everyone know that next week it is our goal to discuss probably also Vanderpump Rules.
I know. It's going to be a lot. If we're going to do all of that. Yeah.
Right. Because that's going to be the finale.
Right.
But we also will be discussing Couple to Thruple, which mm-hmm. is a show on Peacock. There are 10 episodes out, and I've seen all of them. Mara is going to do her best to watch this week, and we'll discuss what she has watched next weekend. So if you all want to take a stab at getting through some of that as well, we'll be discussing that here next mm-hmm. Thursday. And also, this most recent episode of – or excuse me, this most recent season of Love is Blind, yes. Opposite situation. Mara has seen that, and I have not, so I'm going to do my best to get through that this week. And we are hoping to discuss as much of that as I get through on the podcast next week as well. So
Godspeed,
just to give you a little roadmap.
Yours is going to be a harder task than mine, I think.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All the episodes are an hour, by the way.
That's fine. I mean, what else am I going to watch? Other reality television
time?
Shows. I'm going to be watching old episodes of Southern Charm or old episodes of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay, yes. Okay, that I approve of. I'm trying to get Mara to catch up on Real Housewives of Miami, but I also have been trying to get her to catch up on Real Housewives of Atlanta for a long time, so I approve of that. I don't approve of Southern Charm, but that's okay. So, as always, please leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And please follow us everywhere at She's Got the Chat.
Let's do this.
Okay, let's talk about the traitors.
Yes, let's.
You will need the strength of a lion and the stealth of a fox. Trust no one.
Number one thing I want to discuss, re-traitors, Peck and Sue.
Yep, Peck and Sue. I love this couple name.
You had said before, I don't remember if you said it on the podcast or you just said it to me.
I definitely said it on the pod. Yeah, I remember we talked about this.
Okay, that there was both a rumor that there was some kind of romance in the castle. And also there's been a rumor specifically that it was Ekansu and pilot Peter Weber.
Yes.
This was, I would say, confirmed by our queen of parental play on The Bachelor, Sweet Nums.
Sweet Nums.
Your thoughts?
Oh my God. Like, my first thought was like, holy shit, I'm so excited. Like, yeah. Peter and Ekansu, huge. Like, what a team up.
Right. Did you ever think we would see this?
No. I think that it was like, this is like a beautiful like thing that I'm like, oh my God, this can happen because of Traitors. Like,
exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Love Island Bachelor United. That's my dream.
I mean, and it happened on the show, but now for it to be happening off of the show, like united in a IRL romance.
Yes. With two like powerhouse players.
Oh, but,
yeah.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense when you think about it, like based on their types on the show. I do see them liking each other.
Definitely. Yes.
Ekansu is maybe a little bit more wild than Pilot Pete went for on his show, but that could have just been because of the options in his player pool.
I think yes, because remember when on his season he talked a lot about how he likes to party, or his brother talked about how Peter likes to party a lot.
Yes, his brother was like, are you sure you want to be with Madison? She's so Christian, like you like to go out every night. This is true. This is a good point.
So I feel like they're actually probably a match made in heaven.
Right, and he was just like fucking around with Christian Hannah Ann and super Christian, mega Christian Madison Pruitt and
Kelly Flanagan. Yeah.
Yeah. She's super religious, right?
I don't think so.
Well,
she's MAGA.
Very religious vibes. Oh, maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, she was definitely MAGA.
I think they're probably all MAGA, all three of them.
They probably are.
But I'm pretty sure Sweet Nums is too.
Fuck. I hate that for her.
I don't know about Pilot Pete, though.
Oh, Sweet Nums really MAGA? How do we know this?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. If anyone who is a Game of Roses listener is listening to this now, please DM us and let me know if I'm making this up or if this is something they discussed.
Oh, yeah. I should also mention Sweet Nums is Pilot Pete's mother. Oh, I don't think we talked about that. Her name is Barbara. Barbara Weber.
And for those of you who aren't Game of Roses listeners, I'm so sorry.
Which is probably like most of you.
I don't know. I'm actually curious. We should post a poll.
I am actually curious too. We should put up a poll. That'd be fun.
Anyway. Cannot wait to see what they do with this relationship, what kind of parasocial content they pump out.
Yeah.
Just an absolutely magnificent pairing. We then saw photos posted of them from the Traitors reunion, which Mara is being fucking hosted by Andy motherfucking Cohen.
It's amazing.
This is just like peacock. The peacock. Right. That. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Wow. Literally cannot wait to see.
I'm so excited.
And I cannot wait to talk about this most recent episode. So let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Pilot Pete is banished instead of Phaedra.
Yeah.
Was that MJ's vote? That was MJ's vote. That was the deciding vote that we were left on that cliffhanger on last episode. Did you see this coming?
Yeah. Yes. I definitely expected Peter to go first. I expected Peter and then Phaedra, but there was a part of me that's kind of, I think I'm like sort of rooting for the faithfuls right now because like I really didn't want Peter to go home and I kind of wanted Phaedra to go home, even though she's great to watch.
I was sad that either of them were going home. I wanted them both to continue.
I know, that's true.
I feel like Phaedra, and we'll talk about this more as we go through this episode, did not do a good job of choosing a different target.
I agree.
And it's interesting to have watched her gameplay deteriorate over the course of this season because it was so strong to begin with. But inevitably, that strategy that we discussed before about her just kind of letting the other traders make the decision so it didn't look like she was making the decisions, that was going to come to an end and she should have had a plan in place for that. And I don't know that she did.
I agree. I feel like there's a part of me that's like, oh, did she really have any game strategy or did she just let Dan and Parvati lead? And like, because that to me is not game strategy.
Right.
And it was like once she had to be in charge, she was incapable of doing it.
Yeah, which is fascinating. And I'm so curious, as you do continue to watch Atlanta, how that informs your views of the season. And please continue to keep us updated about that. Have you met Phaedra yet, where you are in the season?
Yes, I've met Phaedra. She just had her baby shower, which had the ballet dancers.
Yes. Anything else to say about Peter being banished? Do you think that this was the final nail in the Phaedra coffin? Like, they were just like, okay, well, she's next.
Yes, I said that it was sad but expected, but and this begins the rift that Phaedra can't really escape because it becomes more glaringly obvious that she's a traitor in Peter's absence.
Yep. So then we see her and Kate make the decision to murder John, which I think is so interesting because around the round table, John said, I'm speaking out against you, Phaedra, and if you stay, if you don't get banished, I'm going to be murdered tonight.
Yep.
And I was a little bit shocked that they made this decision.
I completely agree. I would have thought that they wanted to throw people off their scent and would have murdered somebody else.
Do you know what she should have done? Mm. She should have murdered fucking Sheree.
Totally. Yes.
Like, she should have, and... You know, who knows? I think she maybe didn't do that. And we'll, again, talk about this more later because of their real life relationship and the implications. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's where, like, a lot of the people on the show from The Challenge or Big Brother or other shows that are more specifically a game are really a lot better at separating their time in the castle from their real life relationships. And I think that that is Phaedra's downfall here, actually.
I totally totally agree. I'm with you. I was totally shocked that they killed John because that was like a silver platter, like Phaedra on a platter for everybody. Like
exactly. Yeah. No, she should have murdered Sheree and then used that to pin blame on Trishelle. But Trishelle is maybe the next traitor that they vote out around the round table. So anyway, we see them at breakfast the next morning. They're all figuring out that John has been murdered. And then they're talking about, oh, you know, I feel so bad for him. He was so old or something. And then MJ says, I don't think he's old. I just think people in England don't get Botox. And I said, someone has never seen Love Island.
Oh, my God. Facts. That's a fact.
We also get this delicious Bachelor reference in the wake of Peter's banishment, where CT is now the only man on the show, and John's murder, of course, but specifically an homage to Peter as he is our recently departed faithful, leader of the faithfuls, if you will. CT is sitting around and saying, I kind of like this. He's like, they pick at like some fuzz that he has on his neck. And then he's like, I kind of like being the only man in like a house full of women. He's like, I feel like I'm on a dating show. And ladies, whoever wins the challenge today will get to win a date with me. I'm like, he's referencing Play for Time.
He is.
I think he literally says, we'll win a one-on-one date with me. Yeah. I love
this.
So
good. I love that too. And I really like CT. He's grown on me so much.
Have you ever watched The Challenge?
No, I haven't.
So Gabe and I watched a lot of The Challenge during COVID, and it was very much just kind of like on in the background of my life. So people who weren't on it a lot didn't make a huge impact on me. The people that did make a big impact on me were those who were returning season to season to season. CT, Johnny Bananas, Trishelle. So I have something that I would love for you to live react to in just a minute once we get into chatting about this challenge.
Amazing. Okay.
So the challenge is that they are like digging through this pile of dirt to find little gold nuggets, and one shield is in there as well. And then I have to like jump from platform to platform to get them to the other end of like this dock situation and then level this scale. Or if you're doing that with the shield, just like put it in the shield box or whatever, and then you're safe from murder.
Their games are so stupid, but I love them so much.
Right. So their games are very similar to games that they would do on The Challenge, which is why I think it's so fucking funny that Trishelle and CT are the only ones that can do this.
Yeah. They were carrying the team.
I mean, editing is a thing, but if what they showed us is true, they are the only ones, except for at the very end, MJ with the shield, to get across at all.
Yeah. I think that once they realized that CT and Trishelle were capable of actually doing it, they were like, just do it. Like, take charge. Go for it.
Exactly. They were like, okay, we are going to just like dig for gold and you guys are going to get it across.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yep. It was a beautiful thing to see. I loved how they edited it. It was just, it was a funny moment. Okay, so since you have never seen CT on the challenge, I would love for you to please take a look at the link that I just texted to you. Okay. We can post this on our Instagram, but please, Mara, since as you watch this, we will not be able to see what you're seeing, can you live narrate for our listeners what is happening in this video?
Yes.
And to give a little bit of context, so in the challenge, usually like the two people in the bottom have to go head to head in some kind of physical challenge in order to avoid elimination. Only the loser gets eliminated.
Okay.
So that's what's happening here.
Is the caption important? Should I read the caption?
Sure. Yes, okay, because this is why I'm showing it to you.
This is for anyone watching The Traitors who isn't familiar with CT. I just need you to understand. Okay.
Okay.
So right now I see CT back to back with another guy, and they're both wearing helmets, and they're sitting, I think, on the ground.
Yes, they're like strapped together.
Okay. Is that Johnny Bananas? He looks like a baby.
I don't know. I don't know where you are. It's probably Johnny
Bananas. CT looks like a baby.
Yeah. Okay, so what's happening?
Okay, so now they just started and they're trying to drag the other person. This is very like that Love Island one. Johnny's like flying on the back of CT. CT's just like walking, trudging, like arms strong, legs strong to get to this barrel. And then he pushes the barrel over.
Yes. So they're like each trying to get to their individual side and push over their barrel. And CT just fucking dominates.
He dominated. There's some ITMs about people talking about CT.
Yeah.
A transformer power walk is a great way to describe it. His arms are like out and like down and like a power stance.
Yes.
And you can tell he's just grounding all of his energy into his legs.
Oh my gosh, yes, this is against Johnny Bananas. I didn't even fucking realize that. That's wild.
I love it.
It reminds me of what JB said on our podcast about how they were more scared of Johnny Bananas than CT because CT is known to be a very physical player versus a mental player.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So this was just made for him.
Wow. Do I need to watch the challenge?
No.
Fuck.
No, you don't. You don't. We see MJ ends up getting the shield and the rest of the people are cheering for her. She runs across. There's this amazing slow-mo scene of her running and Alan is counting down like 3, 2, 1. I'm sure it wasn't as close as they made it seem, but it was very dramatic and fun.
So dramatic. I was like honestly shocked that she was able to do it.
Yeah, I know, because literally none of them
I know. Exactly.
She was just so determined to not be murdered.
It was funny, like, watching it because I was, like, sort of, like, shouting at my screen. I was like, you need to get a running start. You just got to go really fast.
Exactly. We were like, we just saw what the strategy is. Trishelle cracked the code.
Yeah.
Do it. Or maybe it was CT, which one of them was like, you just have to run because then it doesn't wobble too much. I don't remember which one that was.
Yeah, but when Phaedra went first, I was like, she's going too slow. She's going too slow. She needs to go faster. She's not going to be able to do this.
Yeah, but they just get in their heads about the length that they have to jump and they feel like they need to like get stable
I get that. It was one of those moments. It's like my toxic trait is that I think I could accomplish that task and I probably wouldn't be able to.
If the challenge or Traitors would like to have us on, we're more than happy to give it a try.
Oh my god. I would be a terrible traitor. I am not good at lying.
Yeah,
but I would be a great faithful, I think.
Yeah, I think you would too. And I feel like they kind of make people traitors who want to be traitors, at least. I mean, this is the only season I've seen, but.
Yeah, I agree with you. So good.
So we get back to the castle. We see a conversation between Phaedra and Sheree. This was so fascinating to me, this conversation. Sheree is grappling with this, like, I want to trust Phaedra, but I don't know who it is if it's not her.
Mm-hmm.
We see her ITM that she believes that Phaedra wouldn't lie to her. Sheree is not a good player.
No, she's terrible at this game.
And she's made it here by chance because saying that is insane. Like, again, it's her inability to disconnect what this game is from her real life relationship with Phaedra.
Yeah. The only reason Sheree's still there is because of Phaedra.
100%, but she doesn't know that. The only reason, the only reason she's still there is because Phaedra's a traitor.
Yes, because Phaedra has been protecting her this whole time.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like this conversation in which Sheree eventually just straight up asks her, are you a traitor? And Phaedra has to look her in the eyes and lie to her. I think this conversation broke Phaedra.
I know. That was rough to watch because Sheree was like, there was a part of me that's like, maybe she'll come clean.
Maybe I thought she was going to as well. I think that's what they were trying to get us to think.
Yeah, yeah. But it made me so sad that Phaedra was like, no, I'm a faithful. And I was like, Sheree's never going to trust her again.
They'll get over it.
They'll get over it. I know. It's just a game.
I made a note about this closer to the end, although I don't have very many notes left about the whole episode, so I'll just say it now. Speaking of like she's never going to trust her again, I find it so funny that everyone is acting like this is such a personal betrayal. Like, if Phaedra is a traitor, that, like, it's this huge wrongdoing, as if this isn't just a game where she was assigned that role and did exactly what any of them would have done if they had been assigned that role.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
And I'm curious to know, and maybe we could ask Cass, if all seasons of The Traitors are like this, because it feels not in line with the intention of the game. I'm going to send her a quick voice memo.
Okay.
Cass, we're recording the podcast, by the way.
Hi.
Oh, Mara said hi, but you can't hear her because I have headphones on. In other seasons of Traitors that you have watched, is it as big of a deal? Like, do the faithful see it as a personal betrayal if somebody that they trust is a traitor, a la how everyone feels about Phaedra in this most recent episode? Let me know.
Thank you for your service.
Lauren, a spoiler alert if you aren't watching Traitors. Okay.
I might go back and watch the first season after this one is done, because the first season has Kyle Cook in it from Summer House.
Ari Lyandike.
Oh my God, that's right. Yeah, so I would like to see that.
Yeah, I agree.
To see that.
I agree.
Oh God, Ari jumped in there.
So we essentially now see this roundtable where everyone is accusing Phaedra and she has absolutely nothing to say in response. It feels like she is just giving up and waving the white flag. What did you think about this roundtable?
I said the exact same thing. I felt like she totally gave up. She did nothing to defend herself, at least from what we saw, and had no real argument. I mean, obviously she was a traitor, but like, she didn't have any lies prepared. She didn't have any webs to spin. She just accepted it and like took it.
Yeah. I think it was that conversation with Sheree that did her, and she was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. So I noticed, actually, there was a clip that they had of her in an ITM where she says that she was ready to go home. Mm. And she was wearing the outfit that she wore at the previous roundtable. And I was like, oh, this was filmed after that roundtable.
That's astute. Or before that roundtable.
Or before that roundtable. Yeah, probably before. Yeah, because she was talking about being ready to go home. So that was the one before Peter went home.
Right. But she was still putting up a fight in that one and trying to pin it on Peter and getting her people behind her to pin it on Peter. And it was successful.
I agree. I definitely agree. She was still fighting. But I think that, like, somewhere along the line, she had resigned herself to knowing that she wasn't going to be able to last much longer.
I agree.
So.
So we see Phaedra go home. She says this really weird speech where she's like, I am a faithful traitor.
And like walks out.
Yeah. Thank you for your service. I loved you in this game.
Yeah.
I love you. Please come back to Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah, it was really fun to watch her in Traitors. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of Atlanta.
Yeah. And my last note for this episode, and then we'll move on to The Bachelor, is Sandra, Mara, is on to Kate.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So I really thought, like, okay, shit, well, they're just going to vote out Phaedra and Kate's going to win because she's a new traitor and nobody suspects her.
Mm-hmm.
By standing behind Phaedra in these last two episodes, she put a target on her back that only Sandra is astute enough to see. What are your thoughts? How is the season going to end? Gabe was watching over my shoulder the other day and he was like, so at the end of this, do they like, and I was like, don't even ask me. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. Like, literally, I have no idea what happens.
Yeah.
It's really exciting to watch them figure out who yes. the traitors actually are. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. I thought like, okay, Phaedra's out. They're not going to be able to figure out who the next traitor is. And Kate might just win by luck and default. But yeah, they were immediately like, all right, who's the next one? And they caught on really quickly. Like watching that scene where some of them are inside eating dinner. And then Sandra's like, I'm going to go. Kate's talking a lot. I'm going to go out there and see what they're talking about. And right. then, like, it seemed like they kind of stopped talking once Sandra got out there, obviously, because they were talking about her.
Yeah.
And that was really fun to watch. I was like, yeah. oh, shit. Like, yes.
100%.
She's so good.
She's so good. And Kate should have had a backup plan in mind because that was pre-Phaedra being banished. And what she was trying to get, who was she talking to? Trishel and CT,
MJ.
I think?
Oh, maybe CT. CT, I think, might have been out there, too.
Okay, regardless, what she was trying to get them to do was say, since we're so certain of Phaedra, let's hold her for tomorrow and try to get out who we think the other traitor is tonight, which is Sandra. And she should have had somebody to pivot to.
Right.
Because she told Sandra, I'm just saying this is my strategy. And Sandra's like, okay, well, who's that person? She's like, I don't know.
Right. Right.
And I feel like that's been the biggest tell throughout this season of traitors is somebody who's not pinning it on other people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and that's something that people going into the show for the next season need to clock because you better be able to throw out a name.
Exactly. I mean, that was Dan's downfall and Phaedra's downfall, at least.
Yeah, definitely.
They're just, like, not saying enough.
Right.
You have to,
right.
like, really put yourself in the mindset of a faithful.
Yes.
To, like, win this game as a traitor, I would imagine.
I think you have to literally gaslight yourself into thinking you're a faithful.
I agree.
Like, that's the only way to win.
I totally agree. Okay, we have a response from Cass.
Yes.
She says, yes, totally how it was in season one as well as Australia and UK. There were fucking tears at the end of the Australian season when the remaining faithfuls found out that one of them was a traitor. I mean, wild. They're also losing money, right? I think that's how it works. But in this case, it's like they voted Phaedra out. They did it, but they all were like, felt like it was such a personal betrayal.
Yes, exactly. But, like, that's crazy to me because it's, like, it's not personal at all. This is such, like, a game.
It's literally a game.
It's literally a game.
The reunion is going to be very interesting to see how they all feel about the betrayal.
Yeah.
And how they share it impacting or not impacting their real life relationships.
Yeah. I mean, I will say also, like, they're playing up the betrayal because that makes for more fun drama, which I appreciate.
I know, but I'm like, are they going to do that in the reunion or not when they're not in the game anymore?
Probably.
We'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. All right. Okay. Let's talk about Bachelor.
Okay.
Get ready for the most romantic season in Bachelor history.
Mr. Joey G.
So we haven't talked about Bachelor yet on the show, and maybe should we just start with our I'd like for you to start with your feelings about Joey Grazia Day.
I am in love with him. I am in a relationship with him, and we're going to get married.
We're both obsessed with him.
I had a dream at the very beginning of his season, right before his season started. I had a dream that he and I were dating. Like, he had just gotten off of his season
even started, because you loved him that much on Charity season.
In my dream, it took place after his season was done. He hadn't found love on his season and then met me and found love with me. And he was like obsessed with me. And then he was like, I want to tell everyone in the world that we're dating and I want you to go on After the Final Rose. And I was like, I don't know. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Maybe I should just lay low, like whatever. And he was like, no, we need to tell the world. And the producers were like, fuck no. She's like a normal person. Nobody wants that.
I'm dying.
But that's what happened in the dream. And I woke up and I was like, God, I wish that was real.
He's the most perfect man in the world. I love him so
much. He's perfect. He's baby. He's like a puppy.
He makes every woman that he's with feel so safe.
Yeah.
And so seen.
Yes.
And he's so good at connecting with all of them. Like, he's mm-hmm. such a good bachelor. I genuinely, like, have believed his connection with the vast majority of women on the season, which is very rare for me.
I totally agree.
He's very golden retriever.
Very golden retriever. He doesn't take himself too seriously.
Yeah.
Unlike Arabella.
Right.
Yeah, I just love him. He's just great.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure everyone was on the same page before we discussed any specifics.
Yeah. I'm going to gas him up this entire time. Oh, last thing I should note before we get into the actual recap. Did you see his Joubert syndrome thing with his yellow eyes?
No.
Oh, so, okay. So some of the listeners pointed out that the whites of his eyes looked yellow and they were worried about him because that's like a sign of jaundice.
Yeah.
And so he just put out a reel.
With the listeners of what?
The watchers, the viewers of Bachelor.
Of the show. Oh.
Yeah, of the show. Sorry. He put out a reel saying, when I was a kid, he's like, yes, my eyes are kind of yellow and jaundiced because I have something called Joubert syndrome, which is just like, it's fine. It's just like a syndrome that makes his eyes look yellow. Weird. And I was like, you're telling me he's jaundiced eyes? I kind of love him more.
I mean, it's like, it makes sense that he's focused on eye contact, you know, if he has something going on with his eyes.
Totally.
He's just, yeah, more attuned to eye play than your average Joe. Get it?
Yeah. It was wild. Yeah, it's really funny, though. But anyway, let's talk about the episode. So we're going to be talking about the final six right before entering hometowns. Episode. So it starts off with the girls. They're in Jasper, Canada. It's
beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Good job, Canada visitors or whatever. Tourism board.
Yeah.
Oh, I did the thumbs up. Sorry. Yeah. Good job, Canada Tourism Board. I really would like to go there now, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. And we see some of the girls. We're getting ready to see the first date card come out. And the girls are sitting around and they're not sure. Is this, or did they have the date with Daisy first?
I don't know. As much as I love this season and have been a fan of Joey, I kind of tuned out these past two episodes. It's not hooking me right now, which is part of the reason that I'm excited to talk to you about it, because I feel like you're going to get me excited for the last few episodes.
I can't recall. So Daisy gets a one-on-one date. I cannot recall if that came before or after the group card date. Doesn't matter, though. We're going to talk about when the girls get the group card date.
Is this the episode where Jesse is like, we're going to have two one-on-ones after the group date? So if your name is not on the group date card, the two people who don't see their names are on one-on-ones.
Yeah, that sounds right. Because we're – the very beginning – I'm pretty sure the very beginning of the episode starts off with Jen being really insecure. She hasn't had a one-on-one date in a really long time because she got the first one. I think, or the second one. And then her name gets called on to the group card or the group date.
I'm pretty sure Daisy had the first one-on-one.
She did. She had the first one-on-one. I just don't remember at what point they aired all of that.
Sorry. I mean, I don't think that Jen had the first one-on-one of the season because I think Daisy did.
I also agree. I think you're right. I think it was Daisy and then Jen. But yeah, so she ends up getting a group date and she's very upset about that. And we start to see that spiral for her. The first real date we see is Joey's one-on-one date with Daisy. They go on this horseback ride and then they get into this hot tub, the hot tub that has traveled the world.
Yes.
It's really beautiful. They're flirting. They're chatting. What do you think about their chemistry?
I think they have good chemistry. But like I said, I buy his chemistry with most of them.
Oh, that's so true. At the beginning of the season, I felt like he was really intrigued by her.
Yeah.
But I don't actually think that that's been maintained quite as much as I thought it would be.
I know this comes a little bit later, but do you think that Daisy telling Joey that, like, when my family meets you, they're going to need to find somebody who can, like, take care of me if I get sick? Like, that's what they're going to be expecting from my partner. Do you think that that scares him at all?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. To me, he seems like the kind of guy who would be very willing to take care of his partner.
Yeah. I think he would absolutely be willing to take care of his partner, but whether he wants to sign up for a life where it's like pretty inevitable that he's going to have to or not is more what I'm questioning.
I would agree with that because I think that he still wants to live a life of like adventure.
Yes.
Because that's definitely part of his brand.
Right. And that's what he shared with Lexi as well during her self-elimination, or, you know, leading up to her self-elimination. Like, he wants a longer engagement. He wants longer time with his wife before they have kids. He's very much about this, like, let's do things together in our relationship vibe. And I wonder if he feels like he's not going to be able to have that as much with Daisy.
Yeah, I think that's highly possible. And I think that goes in line a lot with his how his date with Kelsey A goes as well.
I agree.
Yeah. But so with Daisy, yeah, beyond the discussion of health things, they talk about family, they talk about hometowns. It's kind of your typical one-on-one date this far into the season. I felt very meh about that one.
Same.
But then we see their group date. So the girls are competing in this like best lumberjill challenge.
Yeah.
They have to like drink like milk, like yeah. what looks to be like unpasteurized milk.
I mean, we've seen in the show before them milk an animal and chug it in a similar group date setting. So this is a classic bachelor date.
Yes, yes. And they have to
it's
like
the will you do gross things for me date.
Exactly. Or like, yeah, do crazy shit for me kind of thing. Because they have to like saw off like a tree stump. They have to like throw an axe and it's all this stuff.
Wasn't it a similar date on Colton's season when Demi's group like left and like ordered like brought back like a pizza and like champagne or some shit?
Yeah, they had to do like a scavenger hunt date. It was similar to what they did on Charity season with the guys. They like walked around the woods and they were supposed to like complete a number of like
pick edible things.
Yeah. And Demi and Hannah Brown just left and got a bottle of champagne, which was fucking iconic.
Literally iconic.
Yeah. But the girls, yeah, so the girls are all competing against each other. Rachel, despite being lactose intolerant, drinks a whole jar of thick milk.
Not good for your evening portion play.
No. Do you think this is what secured her the rose?
Maybe.
Writing the notes, Ari, I was like, this is why she got the rose.
I really thought that instead of her, it was going to be Jen in the top four. So it really could be.
No, same. I thought it was going to be Jen too. But I was like, and Rachel getting a rose, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Where the fuck did that come from? I was like, it's because she destroyed her bowels for love.
For love. As everyone falling in love must do at one time or another.
Exactly. You've got to eat some crazy shit and then shit your pants all
night
long.
That you're allergic to.
Oh my God.
I hope she had some like of those pills you can take.
Yeah. The, what do they call it? Whatever the pills are for lactose intolerant people.
Not Lactaid. That's just lactose-free milk.
Lactaid. No, that's right. I think it's Lactaid. I think Lactaid also makes milk that's without lactose.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Nice.
Both.
Okay.
Fascinating.
I love that. Let's see. We also have Maria. She's getting all frustrated because she's not good at any of the games. She does make a funny joke about like, did they forget that I have an axe? Oh, because she gets pissed off that Jen gets that kiss from Joey while he's doing an ITM.
Yeah.
Which to me is like, oh, come on, guys. Like, you know what you signed up for.
It's the same protocol.
It's the same protocol.
I agree. I also know that I've heard many players, most recently Charlene Joint on her podcast, Dear Shandy, talk about how hard it is to be on a group date after your first one-on-one.
That makes sense.
And I think a lot of the players are struggling with that in these weeks. Just like the, I felt so special and now I feel so ignored.
Totally. I definitely agree with that. I think that, unfortunately, that's the nature of the game. I think it's like you get all that special attention right away and then you're like relegated to the side.
Yes. And Daisy plays it so fucking well. Like, if you're the one that cannot be giving Joey shit about that when that's his literal job, you have a leg up. So it's normal to feel that way, but just to not get it mixed up what I'm saying here, like I feel for her, but I think that you need to get over it and get your head in the game a little bit and handle it better than we see Maria do.
Definitely. Right. So that takes us into our group date night portion. Maria tries to play a like make me stay. If totally fails, she's like, I'm starting to feel really insecure about the other girls. And I need validation from you. And I don't know if I want to be here anymore. And Joey is literally like, get the fuck out then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
they go and talk to their individual producers.
Yes. I loved watching that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Where Joey's like talking to the producer and he's like, I can't keep wondering if she's like one day just going to like up and leave.
Yeah.
I was like, yes. Such a good point.
Fascinating.
I would never leave you, Joey. I'm You're loyal.
Right. Maria is not the right choice for you, Joseph. That reminds me, though, they are very much driving home this narrative of, like, Joey is so scared he's going to be left at the end. And it makes me wonder what they're setting up.
I know. I am dying to know what the fuck happens at the end of the season that, quote unquote, hasn't happened before.
I know. It's going to be just like a variation of something we've seen before, I bet.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be stupid. I know it.
One thing I do want to mention, and I know that we talked about this earlier, but like a lot of the terminology that we use to discuss Bachelor is from Game of Roses directly. They, on their Instagram page, have a whole lexicon if you would like to go follow them. All props to them, all homages to them. We are using their terminology to discuss this game because they have created the most inclusive and perfect terminology to discuss this game, and it's how we view it now, and it's again just really the basis of our podcast. So all of our love and support to you guys. We're not trying to steal from you.
Yes, definitely not trying to steal. I just can't talk about The Bachelor without using these terms.
Correct.
It's impossible.
Yes, agree.
They're ingrained in my mind. But okay, so no group date roses given because Maria does decide not to leave. Obviously, she would never self-eliminate. She knows better than that.
Yes, she was just hoping for him to beg for her more, and he didn't. So she had to re-strategize.
Yeah, he's already had to beg for her a lot. I was kind of surprised that she even tried to play this because...
I agree.
It's like he's already given her a lot. Like, she doesn't...
I agree. I was actually kind of surprised that she got through this week. And I think that he's very much on this roller coaster with her, a little bit a la Pilot Pete and Victoria Fuller.
Yes. Great
like
example.
That kind of feels like the game she's playing with him. The like, I'm so toxic, but you are wrapped around my fucking finger and you will keep me.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Yes. Ugh. Yes.
I kind of liked it. Like, she pulls it off. I didn't know that she was going to, but when she stayed, I was like, all right, go Maria.
I know. I like her. She's fun to watch. I know she's like a controversial figure, but...
I mean, and her comeback from this potential villain arc that they had set her up for with her two-on-one and everything like that is really excellent. And I think we're going to get a very interesting hometown from her.
Cannot wait. Oh, my God.
Cannot wait.
Her dad.
I know.
Mr. Hollywood. Plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we see our second one-on-one date with Kelsey A. They go to a bar and then they talk to a guy who's in his Chiron is typical Canadian. I don't remember his name, but he's just a dude.
Don't love that.
He alerts them to the Jasper Polar Bear Plunge. Kelsey A is so into this.
Mm-hmm.
Her eyes are like totally wide and her mouth is like, Polar Bear Plunge sounds amazing.
How do you think that Tom Sandoval would have done in this polar bear plunge?
Oh, my God.
He'd have been like, this is so intense.
Yeah, he would have been all, like, manly and testosterone about it.
I can't.
Joey was like, I'm cold. We see Joey and Kelsey getting ready to do the plunge with, like, a group of other random people.
A group of other typical Canadians.
Yeah, they've got these cute little Viking hats on. They've got a different colored robe than everybody else, which was interesting. They jump in. It seems like they're in there for like a couple minutes. But Joey obviously says he loves how like into it that she was and loves like how much courage she basically had. And it kept him feeling excited about it and whatever. So he liked that. They go into a little sauna. They do a little makeout. And then we see the nighttime portion of their date and they talk about family. They talk about hometowns. They talk about how important Kelsey's dad is to her because he really rallied for the family after her mom died. Mm-hmm. She gets emotional. Like you said at the top of this, like he just deals with the emotions of these women so well.
Anything that is brought to him, he is ready for and handles with grace and care. And that's why they all feel so safe.
Exactly. Yeah. So they have a nice conversation. She gets a rose. So going into the rose ceremony, Daisy and Kelsey A already have a rose. Jesse Palmer comes in and tells the girls there's not going to be a cocktail party. So then the girls go into the rose ceremony. Mm-hmm. And right before, so Joey comes in and then he's like, actually, can I talk to Maria for a second? And so they go and they sit and Joey allows her basically an opportunity to save her ass. which ultimately works. But what did you think about what she said?
Can you remind me what she said?
I will try to remind you. She was like, I am really here for you, and I never meant to make you feel like I wasn't here for you. I want to keep being here for you. I want to fight for you. That was the gist of what she said. I kind of felt like it fell a little flat, and I was still surprised she got a rose.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think I have much more to add. Just it was kind of a continuation of her cleaning up the mess that she made, and obviously one that worked. And interesting that Joey pulled her versus her having to stop the rose ceremony before it started and pull him. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's a producer move that allows for that to happen. But
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Interesting that they chose to have it be that way.
Yeah. Definitely. I agree. Yeah. I mean, the girls were pissed off about that too, but.
Of course.
Yeah. But anyway, so then Maria gets a rose and then Rachel gets a rose. So our final four is Daisy, Kelsey, A, Rachel, and Maria.
Yes.
I'm excited for hometowns for them.
Where do you see this going? Who do you think is going to win, come in second and third?
I think Rachel will be in fourth. I think Maria will be third.
Agreed.
God, it's such a toss-up. I think Kelsey A will win. I think Daisy will be second.
I agree. I felt the exact same way.
He seems so into Kelsey A.
I agree. I mean, hometowns are obviously going to be very telling.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about the storyline that Daisy is starting. I imagine that she's going to play it really well the next few episodes.
Yep.
But I could almost... Like, I wonder if the crazy thing that happens that we're being built up to is something with Daisy, like her backing out at the last second or something like that because of these walls that she's starting to build now.
Maybe. She can't get there.
I thought I could, but I can't do it in this time frame.
Right, right. I think that's possible. It's a good theory. I like that.
Well, if she does that, then she's not going to be next Bachelorette.
Bachelorette. No, she wouldn't. Oh. Excited to see what happens.
What do you think about people wanting Maria to be the next Bachelorette?
I don't know. She might be good. I feel like she's a great villain. I don't think she would be a good Bachelorette.
Do you really feel like she was a villain?
She's got villain energy. It's she you does. Know what it is? She looks like Ursula the Sea Witch when she's a human. And
wait, that isn't Ursula super ugly, or is she pretty as a human?
Beautiful. She looks exactly like Maria.
Ursula.
How else would she bag Prince Eric if she wasn't hot?
As a human. Oh. She does kind of look like her.
I know. It's hard not to see that.
She's so not attractive as a sea witch.
No, not at all.
I don't know. I don't know who next Bachelorette is going to be. If Daisy plays it that way, she's going to really, really limit her chances. So maybe she won't. Maybe she'll do something else and come up with a different excuse. But I think he's going to end up with KCA. And I think there's going to be a part of the finale that includes Daisy leaving him, because I think that that is this narrative that we're building up to with Joey always being like, I'm so scared. I'm going to get to the end with someone who's not ready.
I think you're right. I would also love to see Jen as our next Bachelorette.
Yeah. Do you she's know, so pretty. Mara? That she was the first monoracial Asian woman to ever get a one-on-one on the Bachelor franchise.
Are you fucking serious?
I saw that somewhere. I oh can my check my sources, God. But
that
right?
makes me want to die.
I know.
Oh no.
And I actually, oof, we should look this up. I don't know if it was monoracial Asian woman or just monoracial Asian contestant?
Probably contestant, if I had to take a guess.
Let me check Bachelor data. Will you check Bachelor rabbit hole while I check Bachelor data?
Yep.
I really want to say it was one of those two.
Oh, yes. Here it is. Got it. Okay, yeah. Jen makes Bachelor Nation history as the first Asian woman who is not biracial to get an individual date.
Okay, so woman.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane. That's fucked up.
Agreed.
God, this fucking franchise.
I know.
Anyway.
On that note.
Shall we talk about Vanderpump?
We should. Let's visit VPR Corner. So we pick up, and this is the episode that aired exactly 1 week ago. So if you are listening to this when it comes out on March 7th, there's going to be a new episode, or yeah, there is going to already be a new episode out as of the 5th. But this is regarding the episode that aired on February 27th. Mm-hmm. So we started off this episode. It's the first one of them in Tahoe. We see James driving home with Graham, looking all happy. He's like buckled into the front seat of his car. It was so cute.
It was really cute. He's like,
we're going to go meet Allie, your new mommy. I wanted to think that James would have told Allie before bringing the dog home, but it certainly doesn't seem that way when he then gets home with the dog. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did like that when he was talking to LVP, he said, my first thought is Allie. But right. Didn't seem like that was his second thought.
I guess he was like, I could call her, but I might as well just show her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we then see him bring Graham home and we see like this crazy like recognition from Allie and then this confrontation and issue between the cat and the dog. And I just when I was watching this, I was watching my friend's dog and like dealing with his interactions with our cats, and it was just extremely relatable.
That's content. So yeah, it cats are like, what the fuck is that? And dogs are like, ooh, play toy.
Yeah, well, this dog was a little different. This dog pretty much just ignored my cats and is about a third of the size of them, so different, yeah. Different, but still relatable content.
Yes, definitely.
Still
definitely.
Good cat-dog person representation. I love the cat person representation that we're getting with Allie. She's like,
I know.
Mr. Brinks has never met a dog before. I love you. And then so she cute. Says, like, if there are confrontations between them, like, if this doesn't go well, he's going back to LVP.
I know. Yeah, when she was like, is that Graham?
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, her stomach probably dropped.
Right. So then we see her ITM about how like all of her the last year of her life was about Raquel. And now she has Raquel's dog.
Right.
But she does find it in her sweet, sweet soul to say that she is sad for Raquel and says that it's mean for James to take her dog. I love Allie.
Yeah, I do, too. That was cute. She handled this whole thing really well.
I agree. She's such a supportive, good partner for him.
Absolutely.
Why she wants to be with him, I don't know, but good for him.
I'm glad he found somebody.
It honestly actually like makes me like him more that he has chosen a girl like her.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So we now get this huge fight between Sheena and Brock when they're bikini shopping. The first thing before we talk about the fight is just Sheena tries on this bikini and she's like, I still have this, and like pinches her tiny amount of stomach fat. Hated this moment. And Brock is like, you literally grew a human in you.
Right.
Which I appreciated, but also like you can have stomach fat even if you haven't been pregnant.
Yes. Very much so.
We are two women who do.
Yep, definitely. It's obviously this is like a big qualm with reality TV in general, but like the lack of like fat representation and like all of the toxic diet culture stuff that gets fed into it. It does suck to see it. And you're just like, fuck, like I don't necessarily look up to any of these people, but it would be nice to like see a little bit more acceptance would be bare minimum at this point.
Yeah. I think Bravo is really behind. Like, so many Bravo libs are, like, on Ozempic right now. There's been this huge thing in Beverly Hills this season of, like, oh, Kyle and Eric are, like, so skinny. Like, they look so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it is time to move on from that.
It is. It is time.
All of that being said, what were your thoughts on this fight between Sheena and Brock?
I couldn't believe it was happening in public.
Neither could Sheena.
Yeah, neither could Sheena. I was like, why is he picking, like, why are they fighting about this? Like, why are they talking about this right now? But I get, he's obviously very frustrated, and they clearly need to have, like, many more discussions about this at home, in the comfort of their own home.
Or
like,
in therapy.
In therapy, ideally. Because I don't think that Brock is, like, fully understanding Sheena's issue.
Yes.
And it's probably very hard for her to communicate that anyway.
Especially because when she's feeling this way and is triggered, it's not going to be the most clear communication between them.
I did appreciate Brock's little armchair therapy moment where he was like, "It's you're anxious and insecure because of your mother." And she, like, he, like, lists all this stuff. I was like, yeah, get in there, Brock. Go ahead. Psychoanalyze her.
Psychoanalyze her, but also psychoeducate yourself on postpartum OCD, my man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What did you think about all this?
Yeah, I agree. Ugh, it's just a bummer. You know, it's a bummer that on top of what Sheena's already going through, that they're now having this conflict in their relationship.
I agree.
I liked him apologizing to her later, but it seems like things are really off with them. And it was funny for her to be like, we're going to work through this. But, like, right now, everything he's doing is annoying me. It felt very
totally
relatable.
Very relatable.
And I mean, it's like good relationship representation, because, like, that can be the case and they can still be a really strong couple and they can work this out and be fine. And it's okay that they're in this moment of everything that he's doing is pissing her off, because they haven't fully worked through this thing that is really intense and personal for her.
Absolutely. I agree. I like it when they show, like, realistic representation. Like, they're showing a couple fighting about something that's really genuinely important that right. they need, that they don't agree on right now, that they're not fully understanding. And we will probably see that resolution to that by the end of the season.
Yeah.
So, you know, because TV, but.
Because Bravo. Because gives Bravo. Us a good storyline arc.
Exactly.
If we can trust one thing, it's that.
Yes. But yeah, I think it's good to see it. And I also, you know, skipping ahead slightly, but they kind of discuss it briefly at once they're in Tahoe and they're like, let's put this to bed.
That's
for, like,
when
the
he
weekend.
Apologizes.
Right. And he apologizes, which I thought was really important. And he recognized exactly what he needed to apologize for.
I mean, he says, we could just talk about it now, I realized that I need to take your feelings into consideration and not just mine. And there is a part of me that, like, when I hear somebody in a marriage say that, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You just realized that? Like, it feels fair. Like a very basic thing. But
it does feel like a basic thing.
Could be worse. Could be Sandoval.
Yeah. There could always be worse.
Unless it's Sandoval.
Oh, yeah. Unless it's Sandoval.
So we see them now all go to Tahoe. I love that because Graham didn't join this trip in time, he couldn't go on the plane, and so he rides private
on the
LVP.
Fucking PJ. That was wild. I was like, why doesn't everybody else get to go on the PJ? The dog gets to go.
I know. I thought the same. I was like, why didn't you just take all of you then?
Why? Why spend that money on them? Why treat them to that?
So true. So true.
So funny.
She's like, no, this is a show about relatable people, and I will not have any part in making them unrelatable outside of them getting rich from the show that I put them on.
That's so true. I just wanted to note that the wolf that LVP is posing with was so pretty.
It was so pretty. Okay, that was crazy. So we're in Tahoe now, and she's doing a photo shoot with a wolf.
It's amazing. I was like, fuck, I want to do that.
She's the most extra iconic person. And I was thinking, like, God, Bravo just must fucking love her more than anyone. Like, what she has given to the show. And think about also, like, I don't know if you know about this, but I think they called it, like, the Bethany Clause, that they started putting in housewife contracts after Bethany Frankel made a shit ton of money on Skinny Girl.
Oh.
Where they were like, we now get to take a portion of any businesses that are promoted on Bravo shows. So think about how much fucking money, although I'm wondering, timing wise, if LVP at least got in before that for Beverly Hills. But I know, I mean, for a fact, it had to get revenue from Sir and all of the products that have been
her wine
on the show. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All of her restaurants. Wow.
All her restaurants.
Interesting. I didn't know they had to do – I didn't know they did that. That means Kyle's has to give money to Bravo for Loverboy. It's a seltzer. It's a canned cocktail thing he has.
Yeah.
It's not important.
Yeah. He does.
That's crazy. I wanted to talk about the car ride with the Toms.
Yes, where they're FaceTiming Lisa. Yes.
Yes.
So we hear Tom Sandoval essentially sharing with Lisa Vanderpump that he feels like there's been this shift in energy. And like when he showed up to the airport, Sheena came, was like, hey, come sit over, we're over here. Come sit with us. And how different it felt and how good it feels.
I made it.
Tom, oh my God, what are you about to say?
Schwartz says to Tom Sandoval, yeah, just to get a hello from the people that are disgusted by your very essence. That must feel pretty good. I was like, the shade. Disgusted by your very essence.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's and so then funny. Sandoval starts really crying.
So I laughed so hard.
That's so funny because I didn't even really note that because I was just like, yeah. Like, yeah. Obviously, they're both on the same page about it. Like, Sandoval's not refuting that.
No, he wasn't refuting it at all. But I just thought it was hilarious hearing it from Schwartz.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, it was so funny.
So then Lisa gives some advice to them, which is very much aimed at Sandoval, but like she gives to both of them. She's like, you'll have the rest of your lives to get your points across. Like, just basically be humble and like apologize.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, this is really just, I have to say, I did not sign up for this fucking Tom Sandoval redemption arc episode.
No.
And of course, because it's Tom Sandoval, he still ends up making himself look like shit. So it's not an effective redemption arc, but that's very much how it's being presented to us.
Absolutely.
And I hate it.
Yeah. It definitely didn't work for me. That's for fucking sure.
No. So we see him have a conversation with Brock in the kitchen of where they're staying, and they're talking shit out, and he's telling Brock that him and Raquel did not have malicious intent with what they did, but that the things that were done to them were done with malicious intent. Mm-hmm. And we see him ITM that he feels like everyone else in this group thinks that he should just come in and be groveling at their feet and begging for forgiveness. Side note, this is Ari talking. You should. That's what you should be doing. But Sandoval feels like they don't want to take accountability about, you know, all of the like horrible things I said about him on podcasts and how they monetize off of this, like with their merch and all of this kind of stuff. I love just the constant references to the Send It to Daryl merch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, they're subtle though.
Should we quickly explain Send It to Daryl, or are people listening to this familiar with what that means?
Why don't you explain it? Because I actually don't know if I fully understand.
Okay.
It.
Okay. So here's
what happened. Who Daryl is, but.
Okay. So after the reunion, Raquel sent out cease and desist letters to the cast members. And this is, oh my God, Mara, we didn't even fucking talk about this. Maybe we talk about this when we're done with the recap. Do you know that she is suing Tom Sandoval and Ariana Maddox?
Yes. Remember, I think we talked about that in our group chat or something.
Oh. Okay,
also, Jax and Brittany.
I know.
Oh my God.
Wait, did you see the TMZ interview that Brittany did?
No.
It seemed like she's like very much done.
What happened?
Hold on. Okay. Okay. Oh, okay, my God. Okay. Sorry. Hold on. Let's discuss all of this when we're done with the episode.
Okay.
But Raquel's on a cease and desist. Basically, it was about – the reason I bring up the lawsuit, it was about the video. Like, they should not be, like, distributing this video, which I don't fucking think anyone was ever doing. Mm-hmm. Lala went on, I believe, her Instagram and was like, never have I gotten a cease and desist sent to me. Like, this is insane. This is why I have a lawyer. Don't send it to me. Send it to Daryl. Daryl being her lawyer.
Her lawyer.
this became iconic. People loved it, and people started to make Send It to Daryl merch. And she was like, fuck that. No, like I said, this is my thing. So she made Send It to Daryl merch. I was wearing it when we podcasted with JB. Shout out Lala Kent. It is the most fucking comfortable sweatshirt I have ever put on my body.
Ooh, that's a good plug.
And I have put on a lot of sweatshirts.
I love a sweatshirt. I love a work cozy from sweatshirt.
Home. I wear a sweatshirt every day.
Yeah.
So highly recommend. But anyway, that's where the Send It to Daryl thing came from. And I think that that is pretty much like the biggest merch that came out of this whole situation. Although I know that Katie and Ariana also made a ton of money on something about her merch, but that was just because people were supporting them. That's not like something that they put out about Scandoval.
Right. Exactly.
Anyway, so Sandoval finishes this ITM by just saying that this is essentially like about them mutually forgiving each other. It's not about him groveling for their forgiveness. Fucking hate him.
There's a little bit more forgiveness that needs to be happen on one side than the other.
Right. But if you ask him, he would say that they owe him a bigger apology than he owes them because they had malicious intent and he did not.
I don't understand how cheating on your girlfriend is not inherently malicious intent.
Right.
Like, what?
I mean, we talked about this last episode, but this is why he is so firmly standing behind the storyline of still wanting to be with Raquel and that their relationship was real and meaningful.
Right. Right. Ugh, it's insane. God, he's so fucking delusional.
Not that we need to recap the details of Scandoval, which, by the way, broke 1 year ago today, Mara.
Oh my God. You're right. March 3rd.
Yes.
Wow.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Vanderpump Rules.
What an anniversary.
Coming out of the grave to number one fucking show ever.
I love it. Amazing.
So anyway, it's just obviously there was fucking malicious intent there. This like happened in their fucking bed probably when Ariana was at her grandmother's funeral after her dog had just died. Like, if you don't think that there was malicious intent there, you need to read the definition of malicious.
Brock says this to him. You knew what you were doing would hurt her and everybody else. So therefore, the intent was there. You said, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's like you might not have been with Raquel specifically to hurt Ariana, but the way that you intentionally did not break up with Ariana and continued this affair behind her back, that's what's malicious about it.
Yes. Precisely.
I hope you're listening, Sandoval.
I hope you are. God, that'd be kind of cool.
If you're listening, please share.
Please share. Put it on your story.
What if, like, the only fucking star to share a podcast was Tom Sandoval? I actually take it back. God. I'd rather you not be the first. If you're listening, please don't share.
I know. Don't do that. JK.
So we see Graham now come out and meet the whole group, and James makes this announcement that, you know, this is how he came back into my life, blah, 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 blah. And he also makes an announcement that he is going to be rebranding Graham and will be naming him Hippie. And people, first of all, it's a bad dog name. I think we discussed this a long time ago when we knew that he had done that. But people online went absolutely fucking crazy for Allie saying to Sandoval, if Raquel can rebrand herself Rachel, why can't we rebrand Graham to Hippie?
Yeah, that didn't like hit me that hard.
Me neither. I totally agree. But people loved this. Like, I saw so many tweets of people being like, make her a full-time cast member just because of this comment.
Wow. I don't know if that's worthy of full-time cast, but
I do think Allie is. I mean,
yeah, I think she is, but
we'll
I don't know
if she gets into
is.
Any drama, though. That'll be the real interesting. We'll see if she's able to create any rivalries with the cast.
That is what I want to see.
Yeah.
Show me the drama.
So we do quickly take a little trip away from Tahoe to see Ariana having this conversation with her decorator. And I wanted to bring this up because they discussed the Lego portrait.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes. I was very glad we got some answers about that.
Yes. So they're going through all of the things. Ariana basically says in her ITM that she's come around to the idea of letting Tom buy the house. But she says, when I say the house, I mean the walls. Like, right. I bought most of this furniture. It's mine. Like, I'm not going to not be compensated for that, by which she means, like, I'm not going to let him keep this furniture.
Yeah.
I think this is another way of her being like, he can't just stay here and not do anything. Like, I'm going to take all the furniture and he can rebuild if he wants to buy the fucking house from me. But I'm not just leaving him like a fully furnished house. Like, he needs to feel this more than that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I liked that the designer was like, the Lego artist said he can rework it. So it's just you.
Which I really hope she does.
I hope she does it too.
Because that's fucking hilarious.
I know. I didn't realize it was made out of Legos, but I'm glad that they addressed it.
I feel like we got a close up of it. That,
yeah, we did. We got
it. Was a little bit easier to tell that it was Lego art.
Yeah, yeah. I loved it. I wanted to briefly mention that I do commend Sandoval for taking a break from drinking, because I could see how he might potentially associate some of his previous actions with being intoxicated.
Okay, right. Although, sorry, I didn't mention this. This is their conversation they're having in Tahoe before Graham shows up, Graham/Hippie.
Yeah.
He's saying that he is having somebody come to the house to do a guided meditation and that guided meditation has replaced drinking for him.
Yeah.
And then he says something like, I want to just experience everything that I used to experience drunk, but like sober.
Yeah. He also said that he drank every single day for like 2 years. That's a problem.
I actually think that that was an underestimation.
That's probably an underestimation. I agree.
I mean, I feel like him and Schwartz and most of them, but really him and Schwartz have been alcoholics and drink every day for the whole show. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's not filmed every single day. I don't know what they're doing every day of their lives, but they've always been heavy drinkers.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't even think you were having like a drink every day. You were probably drunk every day.
Right.
Like that's terrible.
So maybe he's been drinking daily for longer than that, but yeah, right. Got to the point where he was
intoxicated. Oh my god. Yeah. So like I commend him for taking a break, for recognizing that that could maybe potentially play a factor. However, I think he's back off the wagon back off the wagon because of that interview with Nick Viall.
100% 100%
Yeah.
Lala just continues to be amazing. She ITMs during that whole conversation as well. But like, I think it's great that he is recognizing that he has things about himself that he needs to change and taking accountability for that. And she goes, and if he's lying to me and that's not the case, who cares? I'm not in his head when he has to go to bed at night.
Loved that.
Like, that's on his fucking moral conscience. I'm just going to take what he's saying to me at face value, which I think is huge for her, actually.
I agree. Because she's definitely the type to, like, put herself in their shoes and, like,
yeah,
this is how I would feel. This is what I would do.
And she shares with him as well when they're having the conversation. Like, even for someone like me who sobriety is a real commitment, I still don't say, like, I'm never going to drink again. It's a day-by-day thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important context for him. But, of course, yes, there's no way that he's still fucking sober.
No, definitely not.
We now see them go to the construction site that is Wolf or will be Wolf. And they all take turns hitting a wall with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And we see Sandoval as he's doing it. Well, actually, first we see Schwartz hit the wall and say, I don't want to be single at 40.
I know.
My heart broke for him.
Sad.
And then we see Sandoval hitting it. And really what he should have done here in front of this group of people, in my opinion, is been like, betrayal, affair, like shame, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead, he screams things that he has been branded. So he screams Scandoval, worm with a mustache. He screams Lala.
I know. That was so weird. And Lala's like, what the fuck?
She's like, what?
Yeah. I thought this was bonkers.
What he chose to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed.
Like, I couldn't believe, like, it was like he was hitting the wall about what he was mad about being called.
Yes.
Like,
not about what he was ashamed to have done.
Exactly. And like, it was so on brand for him.
Yeah.
Just the continued lack of accountability. Like, if he wanted to hit the wall, he should have been like, for fucking up my entire life and ruining everyone else's too.
Yeah.
Like, for publicly humiliating, right? For publicly humiliating my previous partner.
Yeah.
Like, for publicly humiliating myself. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, there's so many things he could have said and done differently that was not worm with a mustache.
Yep.
But like, way to throw that line out for James. Good job. But way to
bring that back up.
Yeah, so let's talk about that again. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder.
Fucking idiot.
I know. He's so stupid.
So we see them go to dinner, and I just have to make a note of this moment where Sandoval is like, wait, Brock, look, and then takes a selfie with Brock.
Oh, my God.
He looks at it, and he goes, cool.
I wanted to crawl out of my skin.
It was sad, like really, really sad.
You can feel the tension from the screen.
You can feel how pathetic he is and how pathetic he feels.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, yeah, even I literally just got
I know.
Chills
it's
my
like chills.
Thinking about it.
I
yes.
know. It's so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable to watch.
I know.
It makes me like, I do feel bad for him. It's like watching The Office. It's like, I'm cringing.
You feel bad for Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cringing because it's so embarrassing.
I don't think Michael Scott would ever do what Tom Sandoval did.
No, never. Definitely
right.
not.
He's a sympathetic character.
He's a better person.
Well, exactly. So this brings me back to like, who the fuck signed up for this redemption arc episode?
LVP, probs.
But I mean, I didn't sign up for it is all I'm saying.
I know. Oh, yeah. We did not sign up. No.
We did definitely. Not sign up for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that hopefully it'll end. We see Lala screaming at him on a boat next week. So I literally can't wait to see that. But yeah. To wrap up this episode, let's talk about the conversation that James and Tom Schwartz have at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
So we hear in the beginning a shit ton more excuses from Tom Sandoval. We never meant to hurt anyone. He says that it was so easy for people to say that he just should have broken up with Ariana, but like doing it would have been so much harder. James asks him how he feels about Raquel or Rachel and if they're going to continue their relationship. And he says that he feels like he's torn between resentment and love when it comes to her and doesn't know if they'll be together. This is him, again, as we discussed last week, planting these seeds of don't look at me, look at her. Mm-hmm. I was doing this out of love and genuine feeling for her. And she is the bad one that we should be pinning all of this on.
Yeah, that's true.
This does kind of end up being an apology from Tom Sandoval, even though that's not how it started. And I made a note that as he's apologizing to James, I felt like he had this face on that was so reminiscent to me of the blatant lying face that he had on during all of his ITMs when he was being grilled about Raquel during last season. Where he was like, Raquel and I... No, that's ridiculous. No, oh. I would never.
Interesting.
And he has like this weird smile. You should go back and watch it because something about his energy really shifted in this conversation when he went from deflecting and, you know, making excuses to actually apologizing to James. And it feels extremely disingenuous to me.
Holy shit. I will go back and look because I actually thought but I would be a good candidate to fall for this. I thought his apology seemed genuine.
I think if you listen to it, it does.
I
watch
was hearing
his
the words.
Fucking face.
I will go back and watch this because this is fascinating. This is like watching a serial killer.
Exactly.
I did want to make a note, though. I thought that James handled this really well. And
agreed.
He was telling Sandoval everything he needed to hear. He wasn't listening, but James was laying it the fuck out for him.
Absolutely. And I also love that, like, the way that James is handling this season of, like, this is somebody that's been really important to me and I've been really hurt by. Actually, I also liked how Brock handled it in this episode. I just think it's a really good way of moving forward with the storyline that feels genuine of like, this is somebody that's been important to us, Sheena as well.
Yeah.
And how do we integrate them back into our lives when there's been so much broken trust, and integrating him back into our lives in and of itself will create more broken trust with somebody else that we care about. It's very interesting to me.
That's such a good point. It is very interesting. I'm excited to see how this continues to play out. I also hated the shirt he was wearing. I just wanted to say that too.
What was it?
It was like this Western style shirt. It was black predominantly, but then the top part of it had this like black and white polka dot thing. And I just was like, he thinks he looks so cool and he looks like a fucking clown.
Can we talk about – okay, so I want to talk about the lawsuit, and then I also want to talk about the Tom Sandoval controversy that I totally fucking forgot to mention.
Okay.
Rachel Levis is unfortunately suing both Tom Sandoval and Ariana Madix. This is from the Variety article. Rachel Levis has filed a lawsuit in LA County Superior Court against Tom Sandoval and Ariana Madix for eavesdropping, which makes me think about the white noise machine and that being a very intentional thing that Tom Sandoval discussed during the season. Revenge porn, invasion of privacy, and intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Wow.
Let me just read to you one line out of the lawsuit. Levis was a victim of the predatory and dishonest behavior of an older man.
I love it. An older man.
Who recorded sexually explicit videos of her without her knowledge or consent, which were distributed, disseminated, and discussed publicly by a scorned woman seeking vengeance, catalyzing the scandal.
Wow.
I hate that there's the implication that Ariana spread this video because, as far as I know, as far as any of us know, that didn't happen. We know that she texted it to herself from right. Tom Sandoval's phone and then texted it to Rachel
right.
and said, "You're dead to me."
Right. Like, there's no – that would have been all over the place. I don't think – that did not get out to the common public.
Correct. I just absolutely cannot wait to see what happens with this. It is important to note that California is a two-party consent state, meaning, like, in some states you can record someone without their knowledge, but in California that is not the case. Both gotcha. Parties have to be aware and consenting to any recording. So that is
good to know.
Something that Tom Sandoval should have looked into before he recorded this FaceTime between them.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Any further thoughts to say about that?
No. It just sucks. And I hope very little comes of it outside of maybe him having some consequences.
Yeah, I agree. So the other thing that I wanted to discuss is that Tom Sandoval went on a podcast. Let's see here. He didn't go on a podcast. He was interviewed in the New York Times Magazine.
I know where. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So this is his quote.
Oh my God.
And this is his response to why he thought that the scandal got so big. I like actually feel uncomfortable saying this out loud, but I'm going to do it.
Okay.
He said, "I'm not a pop culture historian really, but I witnessed the O.J. Simpson thing and George Floyd and all these big things," which is really weird to compare this to that, I think, but do you think in a weird way it's a little bit the same?
Oh my God.
First of all, the O.J. Simpson thing. You mean the murder?
Yeah.
Of Nicole Brown Simpson and I don't remember the man that she was with. The murder yeah. of those two people.
Yeah. That he got away with.
And George Floyd and all of these big things. Also not a thing. Also a fucking murder.
Right.
And both stories that were really about race.
Right.
Fucking police brutality, policing, celebrity. Like, of course, that part of it is similar. But
yeah.
celebrity, like, getting off of the hook for fucking murder in a murder. Like, Mara.
I know. He thinks he's as big as them. The fact that for me, it's like, if you want to compare yourself to O.J. Simpson, a basically known murderer, fine. Do that. Don't
George Floyd
compare yourself to George fucking Floyd, a poor, innocent black man that got murdered by cops for no fucking reason. Like, that is infuriating. To me, he should have taken it a step further. It's like 9/11. You know, it's like what I did is as bad as thousands of people dying. Like, it's crazy. Like, what is he thinking? Like, if he wants to compare it to anything at all, he should compare it to like Jay-Z and Beyonce and like the album Lemonade.
Oh, my God. Even that.
Again, people of color. But like, at least that was about cheating. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
still.
So he then released a statement, I think just on his Instagram stories. "My intentions behind the comments I made in New York Times Magazine were to explain the level of national media attention my affair received. The comparison was inappropriate and ignorant. I'm incredibly sorry and embarrassed." Katie Maloney did comment on this. There was a graphic of the quote that she wrote, commented on. Instagram, hey Tom Schwartz, you want to come explain what he was really trying to say? The fuck?
Like, I love that. Though. Yeah, that's good.
We had other people chime in from the Bravo universe. Gertie from Real Housewives of Miami chimed in saying, please reflect on this repulsive statement you made regarding George Floyd, RIP, especially on Black History Month, and take it back. Not okay. An immediate apology is in order, sir. The disrespect, and on Black History Month. Wow, yeah. Just please. Somebody also from Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, said something about it.
Yeah. I don't know why he is so shocked by the media attention. I guess I know that he doesn't think it's that big of a deal or that it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But ultimately, Vanderpump Rules is one of the most popular reality TV shows out there. And people love reality TV. People love drama. That is, hearing about this kind of scandal is going to get so much traction online. It is inevitable that it hits mainstream media. Like, that's how much traction it was getting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't just some, like, plot line that's fun, that's getting traction kind of on Twitter. This is, like, real lives being affected. Right. So he's an idiot to not have had that foresight into thinking like how big this would blow up.
I mean,
in my opinion,
he's an idiot into not having that foresight. He's an idiot into not having the foresight of how this comparison to George Floyd and O.J. Simpson would come across. He lacks foresight generally.
Really and truly, yes. Gosh. It also just shows how like self-important he is.
Yes.
Like,
oh,
100%. I'm as big as these people. Like, what? No, you're disgusting. Also, no, you're not. Like, what?
I mean, Scandoval was fucking, they talked about Scandoval on CNN. People made jokes about Scandoval during the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Like, I get that he feels like, hey, well, you know, got political in this way. But that does not make this comparison apt or appropriate.
Agreed. Agreed.
Anything else you'd like to say about any of this?
No, I'm interested to see how this conversation with Sheena and Ariana goes next week.
I am as well, and to see Lala calling out Sandoval on the boat. Do we want to quickly discuss Jackson Brittany?
Jackson Brittany. Yeah, let's discuss. Let's discuss.
I'm so sorry to hear about everything going on right now. What are you and Jack doing to work through your troubles?
I mean, it's Jack, so he's not really trying that much right now, so.
Is there, like, plans for any marriage counseling?
I mean, I've asked him for a while to do certain things, and nothing has come from that yet, so, you know. I mean, hopefully. I mean, I'm, you know, we've been together for 9 years now, so.
You're remaining hopeful for the counseling?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I just got to ask, a lot of people, you know, are saying that they think that this is a publicity stunt, and it's to promote your upcoming, you know, spinoff series. I want to let you know, speak your side and, you know, share your side of it.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
No.
Or?
Absolutely
not. Is this for your mental health?
This is definitely for my mental health. Like, I think that's been one of the hardest parts right now is that people are, like, speculating that I am doing something for the show coming out. Because actually, no. You know, whenever you fight with somebody for so long, there's only so much that you can take. And, you know, I deserve better. Cruz deserves better. We want, like, a good co-parenting relationship. And I think that me moving out and taking space to figure out if this is what I want is, like, the best situation for me right now.
Do you at least think that in the end it'll be okay? Do you guys think you can pull through? Or?
Listen, I love Jack so much. I really do. And I just want the best for me and for my son at this point. So that's, like, my main focus. But for sure, if, you know, if he switches some things and changes some things about his life, then maybe we can get back together. But right now, I don't know.
I know your spinoff, The Valley, is coming soon. Will the cameras, you know, be on for, you know, this part of the separation? Or
looks like
are you
it
not
is.
Gonna...
I think, like, gradually people will be able to see, like, throughout the season why we end up where we are right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lastly, I just got to know, are you guys still going to be doing the podcast?
Yes.
The podcast?
We are going to co-parent. We're going to make everything, like, we have businesses together. That's, like, very important. So, you know, podcast is still happening. Our bar is still happening. Show is still happening. It's just a lot going on right now.
What the fuck? They're podcast is still happening?
I know. We need to listen to it. That's insane.
Holy shit. What? Why?
I bet it's going to be good. They're going to be fighting on it. They're going to get so much money.
Oh my God. Seriously. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Will you be watching The Valley?
Oh, I didn't want to, but now I feel like I have to.
I don't want to either. I don't think I will.
Are you going to watch Are you going to watch Vanderpump Villa?
Probably not.
I know it didn't look good either.
I think with both of those shows, I'm going to plan on not watching them. And if I hear that they're really good, I probably will. But yes. I'm not going to get excited for anything.
I agree. Totally. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Mara.
Okay. That was a longer episode.
I know, than I expected.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed this. Give us some feedback in our DMs about what you thought, what you liked, what you didn't like. Yeah, I know we talked a lot about a lot of shit about Sandoval today, but I would say all of this to his face.
Agreed.
So
I would say to his face, I wouldn't DM it to him. Be kind. We love you. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we cannot wait to chat with you next week.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Please follow us at She's Got the Chat on Instagram and TikTok. Rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Can't wait to chat next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.